Ladies and gentlemen, Garfield and friends.
We're ready.
Ready to
party.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite cartoon podcast in this, the year of our Lord, 2018.
Are we not using Common Era on this podcast?
Oh, we are CE 2018.
Thank you.
Let us pray.
I am Race Decanus.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I am your favorite stepmommy, Eileen Mary O'Connell.
And this is Knowing Season 3, the artist formerly and will be soon again known as Knowing is Half the Podcast. Because we don't believe in doing things the way other people do it, Chan. We're going to do our Halloween episode that drops 2 days after Halloween, because that's how we do.
Honestly, I would consider that abomination Turbo Teen to be a Halloween episode.
It was nightmarish.
Well,
let's introduce our guest really quick here. This is we are joined today by a very special guest, Jeff Davidson. He is of the Haymaker at the Pack Theater and the Four Lights podcast. Say hi to everybody at home, Jeff.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody's my line.
Oh,
get
sorry.
The fuck out.
Oh, my God.
Turbo Teen.
That was very short.
Have you seen Turbo Teen?
No, I have not.
It's a Ruby Spears joint from 1984. It is not intentionally horrifying, but every single choice, every creative choice they made was just pure stark terror inducing.
No. I had legitimate nightmares after watching that episode.
But
I'm
it was
not even joking.
Is it pleasurable in any way, or is it just all bad? Is it pleasurable in any way?
I wouldn't say it's. But the thing is, it's written in a way that's completely nonsensical. It's like, we need to get here, there, and here. Here's our set pieces, but we're not going to make any effort to justify any of them. We're just going to get there. Which made it like really like grindy on the brain while we were watching it. And then the set pieces themselves make no sense at all to begin with.
I'm traumatized.
And also, it's a story about a teenage boy who transforms into a car due to a failed lab experiment.
Well, that sounds cool.
You
would think.
Yeah. We're talking like American Werewolf in London type transformations. Yeah. Like, they show this poor boy's face spreading out and his mouth like stretching into the grill of the thing and like his ass coming out and turning into a trunk.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, it's body horror. It's body horror in the form of an 80s cartoon.
It's an animated David Cronenberg movie.
Yeah. That's exactly
yep.
what it is.
Yeah, yeah. He watched that and was like, I need to make a movie about people who have sex because like watching car crashes.
But that's not what we're talking about this week.
Nope.
This week we are talking about Garfield's Halloween Adventure. And Jeff, you're wearing a Garfield t-shirt today.
I am. I just got this a couple weeks ago for my birthday from my friend Lexi. And she gave it to me because it is a Gar Trek shirt. I host a Star Trek podcast. She has a weird Garfield fetish, maybe.
Oh, really, goodness.
She definitely loves Garfield. Like, I told her immediately when I got booked on this, and she was super excited. I was like, I'm gonna talk about the Garfield Halloween special, and she was like, I'm so jealous right now.
I love the name of your Star Trek podcast, because my two favorite Star Trek references are Four Lights and Temba When the Walls Fell.
Yep.
I thought is there another Garfield Halloween special?
Probably.
I feel like there was.
I'm pretty sure there's another one that was based on the Garfield Halloween book.
Yes,
and
yes, yes.
It's a nightmare. That's the one that I thought this one was.
This was not a nightmare by any stretch of the imagination.
Weird.
This
was incredibly pleasurable. Yeah,
it was strange.
It's
yeah,
a little stranger. But I always like it.
It definitely felt more along the lines. We did the Garfield Christmas special last year.
Yeah,
right.
And that was, you know, you kind of sat down and like,
it was like a glass of warm milk.
Yeah,
at 10:30 p.m.
It's just a sweetie. Yeah. That special's a sweetie. I wasn't even there, but I remember that special. Guys, I like Garfield.
Yeah, me too.
Jeff, I was about to ask, what's your like relationship with Garfield?
Is it complicated?
So
are you
no,
like...
it's not complicated at all. I'm a
You're
fan
not
of
seeing
Garfield.
Other people. I...
No.
Well, open?
I mean, I Whoa. Do also like Heathcliff.
Oh.
Oh,
wow. That's very Canadian of you.
Kind of controversial.
Meow.
Yeah, you can't like
I'm
both.
Not a big fan. I think Heathcliff is like, I don't even know. Heathcliff was a little mean to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's
like an alley cat.
Was he mean to you personally, Ray?
He called me an asshole once, and
well,
I did not like
that
it.
That makes me like Heathcliff.
Heathcliff calls everybody an asshole.
I mean, yeah. He's like the Mark Maron of cartoon characters.
Really long intros before getting to the interviews. He's like the Mark Maron.
That's fair, yeah.
It's the Heathcliff rant.
But what's your how does Garfield affected you in the past and today?
I was a fan when I was a kid. I had a Garfield doll and an Odie doll.
Sure.
I think I also had a Nurmal doll.
Whoa.
Wow, that's so, next level.
Yeah. And that's about as far as I went as far as collectibles of Garfield that I had in my physical possession. But I liked the Christmas special, and I liked this particular Halloween special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember fondly reading Garfield books and comic strips.
Right. Yeah, I was personally a big fan of Garfield when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, got a little bit older, and I started seeing the seams, if you will,
yeah,
in what Garfield is. And I, you know, kind of fell away from it a little bit.
I was a huge Garfield fan, owned all of the books,
yep,
hunted them down, had a Garfield, named one of my cats Nermal.
Aww.
Because she was gray.
And she had eyelashes.
And you also tried to mail her to Abu Dhabi once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is also a true thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, same thing. Just started to, yeah, it's like, oh, this isn't. And then I read about Jim Davis. He was just like, I just wanted to make money.
Yeah.
And I knew that I could do that with making a cartoon about a cat. And that dude still makes money.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Still.
A lot of money.
I went to his panel at Comic-Con a couple of years ago. It was his first time at
Jim
Comic-Con.
Davis?
Yeah. I went and people were losing their fucking minds.
Was it a Hall H?
No, it was not Hall H. It was in a smaller room. I forget which
room. Was it the second smallest room?
No, I just remember there was the same room that they had like a Beauty and the Beast anniversary
panel. Was it just the men's room?
It was the men's room.
Okay,
I came
just
in. I went in because the ladies' room was too long of a line. I was like, oh, Jim Davis is here.
Let me sign something.
But like they had like, there was like an MC and he was like, are you guys ready for Garfield? And everyone was like, yes!
Like unironically, like they were that pumped?
Yeah. And then they played the theme song from Garfield and Friends. So it was like, we like to party. And everyone was like, we do like to party!
Oh, no.
And it was really funny. And then there was a Q&A with Jim Davis. But because I was a big Garfield fan growing up. And I had like all the books and like all like the behind the scenes stuff. And like I went there like semi-ironically. I was like, this will be a thing to see. But then like all the questions that people were asking, I'm like, I already know the answer to those questions because I read all the books.
Eileen, what you just described is the single saddest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I was ill a lot and I would read books. And you know what? Jim Davis was ill a lot and his mother gave him a pencil.
Well, what a gift to us all, really.
His mother gave a gift to the world
because
he went on to create Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this particular episode begins, and one thing I'm very excited about this YouTube clip is that we got all the original vintage commercials piled in with it, which is
treat.
It's a treat to everything.
Lots of McDonald's.
Did I send you the link, or did I just assume that you were just going to watch the cartoon?
I watched it. I streamed it on Boomerang.
Okay.
Oh,
you
can afford
it.
You're going to hear us talk about commercials.
Well, no, we try and get stuff that is available for free, like in case, you know, someone. We don't expect anybody to put anything like money towards this in any way, shape, or form.
We would love it if they wanted to. Patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast.
Nice. But yeah, there's just a couple. There are a couple like classic like McDonald's commercials and stuff like that.
And I remembered every single one of them.
Yeah, sadly I did.
They remember the glass Garfield mugs that they had at McDonald's?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I had a couple of those.
Still have some at my parents' house.
Peanuts, too, and some Star Wars, Return of the Jedi.
I feel like there's some Looney Tunes, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good times.
Are we all lost in a friggin' Proustian reverie about fucking glass mugs from Burger King?
I'm remembering it was McDonald's. God dang it.
Burger King had the tall glasses.
Yeah, I just remember like
the Star Trek ones.
When those glasses inevitably broke, it was always like a moment for the family to like reflect.
Yeah. We would gather
around,
we'd hold hands.
Oh, it was a very upset moment.
Tears are shed.
You know, other things would come out, you know, in the anger. You know,
never liked that class.
It was healing. It was about family healing. It's about those moments. this particular episode, Garfield's Halloween Adventure, And about two-thirds of the way through, I was like, what's the adventure? Because
yep.
he's not really doing anything. But we'll get there.
Yeah. The pacing of this is real
it's
weird.
It's real bad.
Nothing.
Get to the adventure quickly.
Then there's like an entire Scooby-Doo adventure, like a full hour-long special crammed into the last 7 minutes.
It is literally the last 7 minutes of this 27 minutes that we watched. That is the bulk of everything interesting that happens in this cartoon. And you're right. It could have been stretched out to be the entire episode because it is interesting. It is engaging. There are ghost pirates.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. But the fact that we get to them so late in Act 3 and then literally 2 minutes to go before the end of the episode, we just have to end right when we start getting good. But we'll get there. Episode begins with Garfield waking up first thing in the morning on the day of Halloween, I'm guessing.
Correct. Yes.
And he turns on Binky the Clown, although the TV's already on. It does the old thing that it doesn't happen anymore with the 24-hour cycle that we have. But TV stations after the Late Late Show at about 2:30 a.m. or so would go dark for the night back in the 80s. And then they would come back on again at about 6 or 7 a.m. Our station would end, it would play the national anthem, and then it would just go to like that weird screen from the Fallout games that's just spread across your things. So he's literally watched all the way through the night. Binky the Clown has come on, and immediately upon 5 seconds after starting up, he's forcing him to do jumping jacks, which I don't remember any show really being so aggressive about it. I watched Mouser-Size back in the day on the Disney Channel, and it was more like, if you feel like it, move around.
I thought it was a fun bit just because it comes on, and when they get off the holding pattern, they're like, oh, welcome back to the easy viewing station.
That's right.
Which is ridiculous because there's no TV station back then that was an easy viewing station.
Back then, there were only four channels, basically. Then,
yeah.
Well, no, this was definitely a UHF channel.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But then, you're right, Binky the Clown comes on and just starts screaming at the top of his lungs. And also just insulting children, like, you need to start doing jumping jacks to work off all that candy you're going to eat later.
Yeah, and also it was like a double thing. It's like, one, you got to work off the candy you're going to eat later, and two, you need the endurance to make it through the night, you fat piece of crap.
Yeah.
Man, you know what this was? I just realized, because I'm like, man, this is a cheap-ass Krusty knockoff. And they're like, oh, no, this is years before Krusty existed.
Only a few years, but
1985 and Krusty was 89.
Yeah, Simpsons was 89.
Yeah.
I don't know when Krusty came about. So I think it was 90. Right?
No, he was definitely in season one because originally they were going to have Krusty be Homer, and they were going to do that in the first, in case they got canceled, they were going to tie that whole thing up in like the first 8-episode run that they got.
Yeah.
Was that supposed to be a storyline? I always wondered why they look so similar.
It was a possible out in case they got canceled right off the bat.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that show? Did it get canceled or did it continue on?
No, a show that brilliant wouldn't have continued on long past its due date and continued to grind out episodes, further tarnishing its legacy some 30 years on. Well, thank God it
got put down at its appropriate time then. That's all I have to say. Goodness. And also, hiring. Brilliant.
Here's
the thing.
If
they're hiring, I have not said a single mean thing.
I will take all of those shitty seasons of Simpsons because that also made Futurama possible.
Oh, yeah.
True.
It also made Disenchanted possible, but...
That's no good.
Disenchantment, if you're hiring, I haven't said a single mean thing.
I haven't watched that yet, and I'm interested.
Yeah, but you haven't said anything nice either.
Respect your legacy and still make great.
I respect your legacy. That's what you say to a racist 65-year-old
anymore, but my God.
I did watch a recent episode. The Milhouse jokes still make me laugh.
Okay.
The show's like, it's fine.
I wasn't mad at Disenchantment. I thought it was... It had its moments.
There's so much stuff on television now, so much amazing stuff that like first episode, maybe I'll give you two. But if you haven't hooked me by then,
that's the thing. It's like three episodes of Disenchantment. I could be watching one episode of Law and Order SVU. I mean, you got to make choices in this life. Am I right?
No.
It's a great analogy.
Because why is everyone just staring at me?
I hate you so much.
So then we get our first commercial break, and we get a McDonald's commercial that I absolutely remember. It's the McNuggets. It's a Halloween-themed commercial. Mm-hmm. It's scary. The Bride of Frankenstein, at least I did my hair bit, is in there. And it's just seeing that brought back a rush of joy.
Wait a minute. Are you skipping right by
the intro song?
He's flipping through channels. There was a brief shot of U.S. Acres, which was fun.
Yeah, Orchard of Pig from U.S. Acres.
Mm-hmm. Which it was
before U.S. Acres came out, I think.
Yeah, before it came out as a strip as a cartoon.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. So he was planting the seeds for further domination of the earth.
U.S. Acres failed miserably. He sort of kept it going. He kept it on life support for about 4 years. But my understanding was always like it went from 1980, late 85 to 86. Somewhere around there, and just died horribly by 89.
The strip or the
everything?
Because didn't we watch an episode of the cartoon?
We did. We did watch it, Garfield and Friends, which came later, which has
they
like three cartoons.
US
the middle
Acres
one was U.S.
Characters
Acres. It was straight up U.S. Acres cartoons.
Yeah.
Each like one shorts. Was like 7 minutes. Yeah.
And they were,
they were fine. Yeah, I enjoyed U.S. Acres as a kid. I like Orson the Pig and the whole crew.
I just like the story of U.S. Acres because Jim Davis went into that thinking, oh, this is going to be another home run. Like, I'm going to make so much money off of this and Garfield. I'm going to buy like 6 or 7 more houses.
I'm going to
be swimming in money like Scrooge McDuck. Like, and it just didn't do well.
But that's what's so funny is he probably still made like life-changing money off of U.S. Acres despite it not ever doing anything. Yeah.
Probably made millions, and it just went into the Scrooge McDuck vault, and he didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's the two rows of coins at the bottom. You never quite get to those, but you're happy they're there.
And then, yes, there is a song.
There is a song. There's a lot of songs in this, more than I was expecting, to be honest.
It's very musical.
This wasn't here's the thing with a musical, you're supposed to. It's either supposed to speak to some inner truth about the character or forward the plot somehow.
Those two things are generally how songs work. Yes,
I mean, I guess this is sort of an inner truth, but
I'm gonna hit the street 'cause this is a night folks are giving away so many good things.
It's all about candy.
I guess we're explaining what Halloween is.
You know what? For the foreign markets,
it felt unnecessary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that song was like, we need an intro, and we paid Lou Rawls for a certain number of songs, and we should probably have Lou Rawls on the intro.
And it just occurred to me for the foreign markets, explaining it wouldn't help because it's not in their language.
No.
Well, Bob's Burgers, every episode has a song in it. And it was basically because Lauren Bouchard realized, like, wait a minute, if I write a song every episode, I get my money from the episode, and I also get money from ASCAP before playing the song.
Oh, Buzz Dixon told us about that. They would try to do that in G.I. Joe.
This feels very much it's another, you know, $300 on my paycheck every time. So, like,
why would you not?
Why not?
Why would you not? Can I talk about commercials now?
Yes.
Because I love 80s era McDonald's commercials. They just, I think there's just something very comforting about them. And they were still trying back then. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like they were at least trying to put forth an effort to be mildly creative.
Yeah, yeah. It was the McNugget, McNuggets as
Frankenstein and a ghost and, a vampire.
Yeah.
It was a chicken nugget adorably with two life-sucking fangs sticking out of it.
So cute.
Oh, adorbs, man.
It's a little cutie.
Although those bother me. I don't know that they bothered me back then, but they do now, realizing that like they're coming up with sauces to put on themselves to be eaten, or they're making sauces for other McNuggets, which is arguably even worse.
Could it not just be like the restaurant at the end of the universe with the cow that walks over to the table and has been bred to be happy to be eaten by you?
Uh-huh. Do you feel good about that? Like, did you think to yourself when you were reading that many, many years ago, is like, oh, this is a boon to society?
To be honest, I hadn't really processed it until you mentioned that out loud right now.
Like, this is like the myth of the happy slave is what I'm getting at here.
Oh, my God. That was horrifying now that I think about it.
Like, you can breed them with air quotes to be happy, but...
Yikes.
Although when I did get the toy McNuggets dressed as those characters, I did try to eat them when I was a kid, so, you know.
They were plastic.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. they were. Mm-hmm. And it did not deter me. Mm. The second commercial really spoke to me. It's the Campbell Soup commercial with the worst couple in the entire universe.
Holy mackerel.
I don't remember this one at all.
This is amazing. I don't remember
Can
this.
Can we just yeah, play some of it? Yes. Because it's hard to really explain.
Okay, so this is a couple and they're...
They're doing exercise, but they're doing like what are those like half sit-ups,
aerobics,
crunches?
Crunches. That's what they're doing. They're doing crunches something in like their that. Living room,
yeah, yeah.
wearing more clothes than you should be, like heavy, like oversized,
that was
like
a big
sweatsuits.
Thing in the '80s, like a sweatsuit, like a big yeah. bulky sweatsuit. People wore those to work
and,
out,
and they're clear. Yeah. They're clearly like a married couple, and they clearly hate each other.
Clearly, very married.
It's a lot of problems in this relationship.
Whose idea was this anyway?
Yours.
Well, it's good for your hips.
Whose hips?
Your hips.
they've got the patter of a Gilmore Girls episode.
No, they have a patter of the Lockhorns.
Oh, yes! That's also true.
Or like a Bickerson's kind of thing. That's what they
have. Yes.
Yeah. Going for you.
It's like, it's good for your hips.
Whose hips? Who's,
it's just what? Creepy.
But then they then they get soup.
Vegetable soup.
And that was
the most eager reaction anyone has ever had, the vegetable soup.
Well, to be fair, though, that was Sling Blade. So holds up.
Vitamin A, good for the body.
Whose body? Now that you're watching your bodies more.
That commercial's ridiculous.
This bit of who's blank doesn't make any sense.
Not at all.
And they really packed a lot to unpack into that 30-second commercial, because 15 seconds of that is just pictures of soup. But this couple left an indelible impact on my life.
And then they go on, the voiceover starts talking about how, like, now that people are looking to be healthy, because it's 1985, and for the previous...
They were fucking
10,000 years of human civilization. Oh, like, God. You fat motherfuckers just putting shit into you. We like that, but now, you want to be healthy.
Now that we invented jogging, you dicks are going to start eating better.
You want vegetables? I'll give you motherfucking vegetables. I'll give you vegetables out your asshole.
So which one of those two murdered the other in the next 5 years?
And then the back end of it.
Less eating more vegetables, less sit-ups.
No sit-ups.
These are terrible people.
They're so happy to be not a
cackle at the end. I bet they fuck real well, though.
Oh, it's just violent hate fucking with just a supermarket-style pyramid of soup next to the bed. That's all they do.
Just lie back and think of chicken noodle.
Look at the soup.
Hey, call me minestrone. Yeah, I love them. I would have them over for dinner anytime. But you know what the problem with having them over for dinner? They're going to fuck in your bedroom.
Yep. Oh, yeah. In the bathroom?
Yeah.
In your bedroom, in the guest bedroom.
In your pantry.
Yeah.
You'll be hearing like canned vegetables being knocked over. You're like, is that the cat? No, the cat's right here. Are they?
Oh no.
Wait, are you running the dryer? What's that knocking? Oh, God.
Is someone being vigorously punched next door? Why?
Also,
why are those like small screams? Just
also, yes. I mean, they get into it. Okay, we're back to the show. I don't know. I guess what really kills me about that commercial is it aired in the middle of this show.
Yeah.
Well, no, this would have been in prime
time. It's a prime time,
so
I know.
It's for adults. And it's not overtly...
They'd be watching this with their kids, though.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, this is like Lockhorns. This is the sort of things would be in a comic strip.
It's just given every other commercial that appeared basically being very kid-friendly no matter what the product is. Spoiler alert, we get Snuggle Bear later. It's just... But then we get these people. I don't know. Anyway, okay, moving forward. We get Garfield is under a sheet. He's decided he's going to scare John. And I just, like, there's just moments. I just wrote here after, like, kind of staring at the screen dead-eyed for about 90 seconds. I just wrote, are these jokes? Because this is not Jim Davis at his finest.
Buzz told us what these were.
Oh, that's right.
What did he call them? They were, like, near jokes or something.
Yeah, it was... Guys, you should listen to that Buzz Dixon Turbo Teen episode.
We should listen to the Buzz Dixon episode. It's basically a thing that has the form of a joke.
It's impersonating comedy or something to that effect. Yeah.
It's got the tempo. It's, you know, got the structure of it. But when you actually stop and think about it, like, there is no joke to be had there.
Odie is so dumb he needs to stand on a chair to raise his IQ.
Well, I mean, that is... That's like literally a joke.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
But it's
that's Dan.
Yeah, didn't do anything for me, guys.
It's a pure ripoff, though. It's like that's been around forever.
Yeah. Yes.
As a quote unquote one liner joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what we're getting a big old bunch of spoonfuls of at this stage of the cartoon. And I guess I don't even understand. Like, did they just commit to writing the first two acts before they got to the third act, and then stumbled upon the thing with the ghost pirates? Because in my brain, that's what 100% what this show should have been was. Act one to just set up how we got to the island, and then just there's so much stuff you can do with that setup. It's just an opportunity missed. I think it's really upset me about it. Like, good times to be had still, sure, it's Garfield. But like, gosh, they really got it. Okay, so Odie, we have a whole gag with a pumpkin getting stuck on John's head, and then he gets it off, and then it flies in the air and lands on Odie's head. So now Odie is a pumpkin head. Underrated horror film, might also, I also add.
This is one of those things that bothers me about Garfield. In retrospect, at the time, I didn't even think about it. So, to the writers and producers' credit, they were correct. A stupid child doesn't get whether or not John can hear Garfield or not, because it varies. Sometimes he can't, and sometimes he is responding directly to the things that Garfield is saying.
Correct.
As an adult, I find that irritating.
you just pick a lane and stay in it.
Yes,
it's wildly inconsistent for sure.
Yes,
but I mean I think as you get into adulthood, you recognize that the conceit of Garfield is that John Arbuckle is just an insane person.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, yes. Like
so
the
that's
post.
That's why there's not really any consistency. He's just fucking batshit crazy.
And that's why Garfield minus Garfield works, is because that's the more realistic portrayal of what's actually happening.
Yeah. The postmodern takes on Garfield are. Yeah. Absolute genius.
Yeah.
I just wish that were this.
Yeah, that's
fair. I mean, if this were Garfield minus Garfield's Halloween Adventure, all over that shit.
Yeah.
All over it.
All you aspiring comics out there, get on it, because we just gave you gold.
Because that's John just like in a rowboat that he'd thrown the oars away from, just like... just drifting off towards wherever, just landing on an island and scaring the shit out of some poor old man who's sitting in a cabin.
That guy. We'll get to that guy.
There's treasure. Is there treasure here? What are you doing in my house? Get the fuck out, old man. I'm digging it. I'm digging in your basement. Where's my cat? My cat. I know you got him here.
What's buried under your floorboards?
Do you have ghosts? Is that a ghost I hear?
But enough about my Halloween party yesterday. Okay, so we get our central conceit here. So Garfield's going to take Odie with him trick-or-treating because he realizes two gets double candy. He can steal the candy and get double the candy. So now they have to get costumes. We have a fun little montage scene where they go up to the attic and they're just finding just random things John has actually worn in real life in the past. Mm-hmm. And they're just, once they find the treasure trove, they're like, oh yes, this is, and some of these things, I'm not even, would they even fit John? Like, cause they fit the dog who's 1/8 the size of John.
You know, some of the stuff was like, just old things from like family members and whatnot like that. He's keeping, some like old uncle's dentures, which is a little creepy.
Very creepy.
Yeah. Like my grandmother had dentures, and when she died, that wasn't my first or last or any in between thoughts of taking and keeping to remind me of her.
But you still did.
I mean, I put it with the rest of the teeth.
Thank you.
Exactly. But, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is, you know, John Arbuckle has a whole collection of teeth in his attic.
Oh, there's Uncle's teeth. I'd better put them with the rest.
Yeah.
I just had like a thought. Like, what if all of these were just like trophies that he, all the clothing was just trophies he had taken from his murder victims? Like, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just assumed he was a sad sketch comic.
Well, probably a lot of truth to that too. The two are not mutually exclusive, for the record.
You also
I've been
don't
in this
need
town
to
long
say
enough.
Sad. Sketch comic.
Fair. Now we get our second song of the episode, Chan. What should I be?
I mean, technically, this fulfills the advancing the story.
It's approaching.
Objective.
It's approaching comedy.
Like, yeah, we're doing a thing, and we're finding a costume, and so we're laying out all sorts of things. Like, I don't know.
Handsome or brave, a king or a slave.
Okay, we're done. We're done.
Oh. You don't think you should have gone as a slave?
No, that's where he's reaching in and pulling out shoe polish, rubbing it all over his face, and going like, yes, massa, I'm going to get you some cotton for
chow. King or a slave? I think he's referencing the sort of classic medieval slave idea, right?
Oh,
is that still okay?
Probably not. Doesn't make it better, but...
What if I just wear the chains and the outfit, but I just don't put on blackface, and I say, I'm a medieval slave? Is that okay? Is that going to fly on Facebook the next morning?
What if I'm jumping out the window, say, an iPhone factory in China? Is that okay to dress
that's
as
a social commentary, right?
I mean, to be fair, that is soon enough after.
You know, if he stopped off and said a king or a slave, by which I mean to establish a commentary on the practice of modern day slavery, which capitalism obviously is dependent upon.
Oh my God!
Then this would be the best cartoon I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's a long song.
No question.
The song just carries through. They go to commercial. They come back. He's still doing the song. It would have been incredible.
Noam Chomsky says that.
Taxation is theft.
I do want to see a Garfield special written by Noam Chomsky. That
we
sounds fantastic.
Do.
Oh, hells yeah.
All right, let's get him this episode.
Making that a spank show in 2019.
Oh my God.
Come on down.
God, that's another great idea. Look, Garfield is listen, Jim Davis was onto something. Garfield just spins great idea after great idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fact. This is just something that's happening. Okay, so they both decide to go with pirates.
Classic.
You know, like, some people find pirates problematic these days. I think, okay, we got to draw the line somewhere. I'm going to draw it under pirates because I think pirates are okay. Pirates have entered the zeitgeist as, yes, they were rapists, murderers, pillagers. They did many terrible things, tortured people, but it's fine.
They had parrots.
Yeah.
That's whimsical.
Adorable.
What about Vikings?
Vikings, I don't think they're as problematic as pirates, even though they did the same stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only Vikings, you know, they're represented by our football teams, so that can't be a problem.
Huh.
Right?
Well, the pirates are represented by football teams.
Oh, my gosh, so they got to be okay, too. Just like, you know, the Redskins. There's so that's what makes that completely appropriate in the...
I just wish that Garfield had come in and said, I'm the catpin now.
Yay!
God damn it.
Yeah.
Well, they're both pirates, and Odie has a bit where he has four peg legs, and I thought that was adorable.
That was pretty funny.
I really like that bit.
Why does John have five peg legs? Because at that point, Garfield already has one peg leg.
It's true. And not only that, they're peg legs purely sized for pets.
Yeah. How many legs off of how many pets has he had that he's cut off?
Those are not intended to be costume peg legs for animals. They are pegs, and they have a use. I imagine he has five because you want to definitely make sure that one is washed before you use it again. So one for every day of the week. You strap it on.
Oh,
you have yourself a time.
Maybe do some pegging. Is that what you're saying?
That was the whole show. Ray, that was,
I thought you were talking about butt plugs.
Ray,
you weren't talking about butt plugs?
I said pegs. I think you're talking about butt plugs. You're vastly overestimating the reach of John Arbuckle's social life, by the way. There's no way he's pegging anybody.
Here's the thing. He could tape it onto a Sibian and just sit on it and go nuts.
The one with the suction cup you put in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard. Moving forward, there's another song. They're now out trick-or-treating. I'm no scaredy cat, the third song of this episode. Can we hear a little bit of this ditty?
I may be bossy, I may lack grace, I don't do sit-ups to trim my waist. I may be thoughtless, yeah, and all of that, but the one thing I'm not is a scaredy cat.
Am I the only one that was wondering where Bruce Willis as Bruno was about to show up and just start playing a saxophone?
Yeah, not too far off.
It's pretty much right
not
there.
Too far off. Yeah, and then this bit is every time he goes to unmask a
child.
He says a kid in a costume.
Yeah, it turns out to be like a Bigfoot and an actual, like a witch, and he pulls off the mask and it's an actual witch underneath it. Then it was like a ghost and he lifts it up and there's nothing under there.
I love that ghost bit. I was thinking like when the ghost came up, I said, boy, I hope he pulls up the sheet and there'll be nothing there. That's a good bit. And then he did it. And I was just like, you know what? Okay. Applaud, Garfield. I'm into
cute.
It. I like it.
I didn't
like
really care for the song, but.
Yeah. And also, I don't, like, understand. Are they setting up that, like, the supernatural is real? Or. Because it would make sense if he said, I'm not a scaredy cat. And then he saw something that scared the crap out of him. That's a comic conceit. To not be scared and then turned out to be something real. Well, okay, well then you set up like
I mean he does get scared of the various creatures when he exposes them and he runs away.
Right.
And they hit the tempo and the music up a little bit, you know. And so they're sort of doing that.
Yeah,
I think that it's like we were saying before, there's a lot of waste opportunities in this special. And they could have been served a little bit better with a different song maybe.
A little more up tempo.
Yeah, more up-tempo. Also, like, maybe exploring the themes a little more. Like, maybe just have, like, a specific pirate song, you know?
Do you feel like they just asked the guy?
A better pirate song?
Who's the guy who wrote those songs?
Well, the guy who's doing vocals on this one is Lou Rawls again.
Yeah, and maybe they just asked him to write some songs but didn't give him a lot to work with. So he just wrote whatever he felt like writing and they had to wedge it into the cartoon?
Yeah.
Does that feel right?
I would imagine so.
We'll say, like, watching a bunch of Muppet Babies. Like, most of their songs were doo-wop, and
almost all of them were doo-wop, from what I remember. Yeah.
And the reason for that is the same reason why so many songs, when you go see short-form improv, are doo-wop. Because it's real easy to do.
Yeah.
You just bang that thing out. And this feels very much like something like, all right, give me something slow. And some scaredy cat. Something hat. Something mat. And you just work backwards. You just find some rhymes, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm on board. Garfield's theory towards trick-or-treating is go to the house, get candy, threaten the people with physical harm, and then get more candy.
Yeah.
And again, this woman understands him when he says things like, I'm going to tear your living room drapes up. With his broadsword, which is not a weapon that a pirate would carry, for heaven's sake. A broadsword on a ship? Come on now.
Yeah, that's not. You don't have enough room to be that maneuverable with such a
cutlass,
large, heavy weapon.
A rapier, a cutlass, for heaven's sake. A dirk. Broadsword.
A flintlock pistol.
Pshaw.
Would be appropriate. Why not just wield a claymore while you're going?
What about a good blunderbuss? How about that?
I would be fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be pretty tough to maneuver.
Not in close quarters.
I could see someone. Yeah, he's the roadblock of your pirate crew would carry
the
that around.
The roadblock of your So now we get a big montage of him just like raking in the candy. Just going around the town, raking in the candy, threatening people. Mm-hmm. Nobody's calling the cops on this cat who they understand, which, you know.
Yeah, he's connected.
He's a made man.
He's a made cat.
He's a made cat.
They know that. They know that. He comes for protection candy, and you're going to give it to him.
And this is the point where Garfield has to make a very important decision about the evening, because he's got enough candy to be happy. And he's decided, like, I could go home right now, cash it in. This is every poker player's moment.
This is a treatise on capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Yeah. There's just a moment when if you've played poker a lot, where you're like, I'm up an amount, I'm comfortable being up, but I'm also doing very well. I could stick around and potentially lose what I already have in my pocket, or I could go for a big score.
Yeah.
He decides, because he's Garfield, he's going to go across the river, and there's a river in this town that has no streets or roads over it, apparently, or bridges. So he needs to find a boat to go across the other side of town to get more candy. And in this moment, as he's talking about, I'm going to have all the candy, I'm going to have Odie's candy, I'm going to have all of the above, I just suddenly had a realization that Garfield is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. He's lazy. He doesn't know anything. He wants orange. He wants everybody's everything to give them back nothing. And I feel like I hit some sort of like I hit something here.
Is this entire special not a cautionary tale against greed?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
It would be if it didn't end with him getting all of his shit back.
Yeah. That's a good point.
At the end, he really didn't learn anything.
Not really. He also stole a boat like an asshole.
Okay, this is the question I had. Like, this is not his boat. No. This is just a rowboat who'd just been moored into this dock, and he has decided, I'm going to get to the side of that river. Theft is okay here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His greed for candy is so great that he gets to steal a boat.
Part of the deal.
Yeah.
Be honest, he could have. Thank you.
And they lose the oars too.
They don't just lose them. Like Odie just ruin like the chucks boat. Them. Yeah. But somehow they still use the boat to get back.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Or yeah, the old man is. I'm jumping too far ahead. So now we get back to the commercial break, and we open with McDonald's. He goes to the jungle, and the puppets are wearing like Tarzan leotards. Yeah,
it's, you know what. It's probably racist. We can probably just assume.
Is Tarzan racist?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Then this is definitely racist.
Yeah.
I had to ask that question because, you know what, with so many things from our culture and the culture of the years a little bit before us, often I at least don't stop to think, oh, that's problematic.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the first part of the commercial. They're like, in the jungle, and they're finding the McNuggets, blah, 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 and the soda's talking to me because I'm high.
Ronald is high as balls walking the jungle.
Oh, yeah. He's not even in the jungle.
It was the 80s.
He's in the gardening department of fucking Walmart.
Yeah. Sir, you're dressed as a clown. Please come with us.
You're dressed as a clown.
The Sheik has things to say.
What I don't like is the Happy Meals come in these little plastic jack-o'-lantern things, which you're supposed to.
I used to have those
with you.
Oh, I loved them. Yeah. Yep. They're legit.
I want to know what the fuck this little boy is saying. He's saying it with a pirate accent, so it's real hard to understand, and it's really bothering me.
There are three buckets, and there's a kid in three different costumes.
One of them is a McPumpkin, one of them is the McBoo, and one's the McGoblin.
McGoblin, yes.
Booty McBoo, matey.
Booty McBoo,
matey.
That sounds filthy.
I think he's saying booty. As in pirate booty,
right?
And then Mick, as in McDonald's, and right. Then Boo, as in go say Boo.
Mick Boo is the name of the pumpkin, holder.
Booty
right?
McBoo,
matey. Booty McBoo. I bet you that person grew up as fucking like Clive Owen or something.
No, I know that guy's dead.
Oh,
that kid's totally dead now. I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
What? He probably deserved it.
It did not end. I mean, to be fair, it was his fault. Let's start there. Yeah, it was his own actions that led to his ultimate demise.
Carrot in McGoblin.
Carrot in McGoblin.
Carrot in McGoblin.
So this kid is going out and going up to people, knocking on the door, trick or treat. They're like, here, have a delicious full-size Snickers bar. He's like, no! You get back. You give me a fucking carrot.
Give me celery. A rabbit.
You give me something
as a rabbit
healthy.
For a reason. I want the vegetables.
Fuck. I am living the gimmick, sir.
I am committed.
And then what's the third one?
Golden McPumpkin, partner.
Golden McPumpkin.
Yeah, he's a cowboy. He's not a cowboy. He's a gold rush. He's a gold miner.
In McBoo?
Booty and McBoo. To be fair, I bet you there's an adult film with that title.
Booty and McBoo.
Carrot in McGoblin.
Yeah.
Carrot in McGoblin. Booty in
McBoo. And McBoo is the name of the pumpkin.
Yeah, there's McBoo.
It sounds like booty in McBoo.
Booty
in
McBoo.
But.
Like, you were worried that they made this kid say booty in my boob. That's what you're concerned about?
I mean,
and they just, like, the people who produced this McDonald's commercial just fucked this poor kid up for life. Like, years later, in his first sexual experience, he's like, so I got to put my booty in your McBoob. Right? I'm going to rub my booty in your boobs. And she's just like, what the fuck is wrong with
which
you?
Which is why
That's
he died
not
a virgin.
How sex works. Get Look, away from me.
Fine, if that doesn't work for you, can I at least put my carrot in McGoblin?
You want to gobble your own? What? I don't. I'm going to go now.
Poor. I'm glad he's dead for his own sake.
Now let's talk about Snuggle.
Snuggle Bear. The second commercial is for a fabric softener, Snuggle Bear.
I believe he is still...
still used.
Yeah, a mascot of Snuggle Fabric Softener.
Oh, still creepy.
In 1985, this was a pretty new thing. And I tell you what, the animation or
the puppetry,
the points of animation points of articulation on this thing are
a little low,
pretty high. I would say. Yeah? Like it's, I feel like it moves arms, real.
Can I say when it's falling and it's like full body and it's falling into the blanket? I get an uncanny valley when that happens.
Yes,
100%. That's why it's disturbing.
Do not care for it one bit. I could do without it in my life and in my brain.
I feel like a lot of people feel that way because I mean, I remember the state sketch that was like in the late 90s.
Yes.
Where, like the little Snuggle Bear comes out of the laundry basket and the one screams and starts smashing it with the...
I got bad news. That was early 90s.
Was it early
90s? It was 92.
Okay, great. So we're still
all dying slowly, but not that slow. Oh. Snuggle Bear... It's creepy, and we mentioned as we were watching the commercial that he's like literally taking the fabric and he's rubbing it all over his body and like his junk, and it's mostly disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I still think Snuggle Bear's cute as hell. That's fine, although a little terrifying, like Child's Play dolls.
Like, wait, so you like the Child's Play doll?
It's like it's my buddy. It's cute.
Chucky.
It's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like my buddy. In the way that Charles Manson is like Chuck Schultz.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of points of similarity. They're both white guys, both named Charles.
Both responded to my letters when I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're both dead now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is nice.
So then we get a couple of TV shows that came out. We get The Wizard, which is a show I absolutely do not remember at all. Then we get Pee-wee's Playhouse, a show I absolutely remember a whole heck of a lot of.
Then we get Jane Wyman trying to get us to stop doing drugs.
I just have a note here. Please make Chan play the whole thing.
She is fucking committed to this. She wants you to know that you have to stop the madness of drug use, which I'm just going to scan around the room and like, you people are fucking drug heads.
You already know this for a fact. It 100% worked on me, and that's why I'm so mad at it.
Yeah, I'm a good kid.
Smoking and your doping.
No, I've never done drugs, and Eileen is allergic to weed. So, Chan, I don't even know what your premise is going on.
Doing mushrooms and
mushrooms.
Taking LSD with the hippies. Jane Wyman.
If you enter the world of drugs, there's no exit. The best way to stop is never to start.
This shit worked on me when I was a kid. I'll say right now, like when I was in high school, I had opportunities to smoke weed and like I got invited to these things. And this shit was so embedded in the back of my head. I was just like, don't open that door. Don't do it. And so I just didn't.
I have no idea that you like Jane Wyman that much.
I don't even know who Jane Wyman is.
Jane
clearly would have done this after like a personal call from her friend Nancy Reagan.
B, she is doped up on Percocets like a motherfucker doing this thing.
100%.
She is so high right now.
Those are white people drugs. Those are fine.
Yeah.
to be fair, I did not do drugs when I was a kid. For completely different reasons. It's because my mom was a hippie. She was like, you know what? You want to do drugs? Just let me know and I'll get drugs for you.
I'm
like,
No.
Yeah, that's the best tactic of a parent, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want your kids to do drugs, just be like, oh, you can do drugs. What do you want me to get you?
Yeah.
I'll get you anything.
Your parents do them. They must be cool. So
my parents do drugs? That's I'm never doing drugs.
I'm going to take you to, Uncle Johnson, he's a drug dealer. Like, you know, we go over this house all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Uncle Johnny? What the? Oh,
I think I'll read a book instead.
I'm going to go to the library. You know how Uncle Johnny is a big loser? Oh, he just, like, sort of sits on the couch all day and watches Rockford Files reruns? So, if you smoke pot, that's where you're going to go.
Literally, you have to smoke pot at his house because we just don't want you driving.
And if you
want to
smoke pot, He's got some for you.
And yeah, you'll be forced to have Trapper John MD posters on your wall. That's just that's just a thing.
What's great about that is I got all those references, and I guarantee like a high percentage of the people listening to this don't know what either of those two shows are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But here's the deal. I appreciate it.
Vince Vaughn was trying to get a Rockford Files movie made for years. Yeah.
How come they haven't redone Remington Steele yet? It seems
good,
ripe.
Good question.
A third show, you kids at home have no idea what I'm talking about.
I'm so furious.
I mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Benson. Okay.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Watch out. Here's Talking Garfield.
Face it. You're a wimp.
Hey, way to go, Athletic Garfield.
Oh boy, lasagna.
Dig in, Gourmet Garfield.
Here's a cute little friend for you, Tootsie.
I hate cute.
Yeah, Grumpy Garfield. Watch out for all three Talking Garfields for you and your kids, wherever Mattel toys.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, so here we are. They finally hit land in the boat. We're back to Garfield after...
Thank God!
And this is where...
And Snuggle came with us! Snuggle's no! still here!
Ah! We're at a point now, we have about 6.5... Because I actually looked at the clock when we got to this point, and it was like 6.5, 7 minutes to go before the end of the episode, including closing credits. And it's just... This is the part where it really starts picking up and becoming, to me, this is where it gets real fun. This is where it gets real good. They show up at us, they're on an island... Somehow in town, there's a spooky house at the end, the haunted house.
It was a very spooky house.
There's a fun bit where he's going to go kick in the door. It's like, I'm going to kick in the door on three. He goes to kick the door and he hurts his foot. And then they just literally turn the door and open it. Like, that was a good bit to me. I appreciated that. And then a little weirdness happens because they look around and they see lights are on. Mm-hmm. There's a roaring fire happening in the fireplace. At which point Garfield says, looks like no one's home.
Yeah.
There's like half-eaten food, like literally on the kitchen table. Deserted. No one's been here in years.
Roaring fire in the fireplace.
Whatever.
That probably let itself, right? That's how it works.
It's a haunted house. It could be spectral flames.
The shower's running.
Yeah. I hear singing. Nah, no one's here. That bit was a little bit like... So then they go to the lit fire. And turn around.
Yeah.
And this is weirdly animated.
Yeah, so the style of the depiction of the creepy old guy in his house is different in the animation, the design. Just the illustration style is different than the rest of the episode.
Yeah,
his animation feels different. To me, it almost felt like a segment from heavy metal.
I was about to say Bernie Wrightson.
Yeah, because, it has a Bernie Wrightson feel to it.
Yeah, it's definitely going
the detail,
for like,
also,
like an EC kind of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm assuming that was... purposeful.
Oh, yeah. No question.
We get sucked into a
very
cartoon.
Distinct. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, and it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Now.
It makes the scary story actually, which isn't terribly scary.
Yeah.
The thing about
kind
it,
of scarier, kind
it's
of?
Jarring.
Yeah.
And so, especially for young kids, you get comfortable with the Garfield and you get hit with this like left turn. Mm. It's, I don't say off putting is the right word, but it's so different and so harsh. That it immediately forces you to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really cool choice.
I liked that.
I was paying very close attention to it. And I will say this, and I did a screen grab, which I can forward to you guys if you want to post it. When the lightning flashes in the initial display of the old man, there appears to be a stain on the back of his chair that is not there under regular light.
Oh, shit.
Which would be like... So lightning maybe is sort of like a black light thing. You're saying like that's ultraviolet. So does the old man have like a jizz or blood stain on his chair? Is that what's going on?
This is like some Haunting a Hill House shit. They're like ghosts.
There's
that
some
show up
sort
and
of
pay attention.
Biological material on the back of that chair.
If he's been waiting in that chair for 100 years,
he had to do
he
something.
Had you know he's got to pee at some point. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay, so he has this big speech where he talks about this is going to be the worst night of your lives. And 100 years ago tonight, real pirates buried their treasure and they vowed that 100 years at midnight, which is in 5 minutes' time, they're going to come back and get their treasure.
Too scary.
Didn't just vow. They signed a contract in blood.
In blood, that is correct, yeah. So my first thought is, first off, this man is 110 years old.
Correct, because he says they had a cabin boy who was 10.
Yep.
I'm that cabin boy. Like, whoa, you are 110 years old.
And he looks great for 110.
Also, those pirates were having sex with that 10-year-old boy.
Oh no. Chan, no. Fact. Oh, no.
But why would you have a 10-year-old boy on a pirate ship?
To have sex with.
Yeah. You were the one that was okay with pirates. Are you still okay with pirates? You still want to sign off on that one?
It's still a socially acceptable costume. Just don't bring a 10-year-old with you.
Oh, God.
Then he's disappeared. Like, a flash happens, and he's gone. And he's stolen their boat, which was already stolen. So, really, it's a zero-sum game. It's
like,
fine.
He apparently had his own oar, too.
Yeah, he brought his own oars from the house.
Bring your own oar.
This man comes from... He's 110. He knows what's up. He's seen some stuff. Okay, at which point, okay, they try to hide a little bit, but they don't do a very good job of it. The ghost ship shows up because it's midnight. Ghost pirates show up, and this shit is picking up. Like, they try to hide inside a little cupboard, and we have the comic thing that we saw on in Turboteen, where he says, don't make any sounds, immediately sneezes for no good reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a trope.
It's very much a trope, yeah.
At which point the pirates go, let's just close the doors of the cabinet. Maybe they wouldn't see, but they're ghosts, so they just go through the doors.
Stick their faces into the cabinet. Yeah.
I appreciated all that. And so they get their treasure chest out, which I thought was a cool bit. They go into the floorboards of the house. They break through, but then it goes back to normal again. So we're like in creepy town.
Mm-hmm.
I like the depiction of the pirate ghost. I thought that was cool. It was an interesting, different style.
Yes!
Yeah. Sort of depicted it was.
Like, it almost looks like a sketchy chalk. Like sketches of chalk, but they're animated and they're sort of glowing and flashy. It was cool.
No, they were, for a 7-year-old, that would be a little scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I legit really enjoyed that part. I wish that we would have gotten this 5 minutes into the episode as opposed to 5 minutes before the end of the episode.
And it would actually be the entire thing would be Garfield's Halloween Adventure as opposed to what it actually is, which is... Garfield's bunch of bullshit and a piece of adventure at the end.
But a rad piece of adventure. Yeah, I really like this bit. I could say right now, like, I kind of goof on Garfield for being a little plain, a little milquetoast sometimes.
Yeah.
This is not that. This is super interesting, and it's a cool gimmick. You're seeing a character that shouldn't be here forced to deal with it, and it's just neat. So they end up running to the docks. They're running away from the ghost. It's a big chase. They decide we have to jump into the river, but Garfield can't swim, so Odie has to save him. I mean,
very heroic.
I mean, Odie is a hero. Let's just keep.
He is. Yeah. He's loyal to Garfield to the end.
I actually enjoy depictions of Odie in animated form much more than I do in the comic strips.
Me too.
He sort of, has some intelligence there, and basically, a lot of the dumb stuff's just kind of a show.
Yeah. He's just a dog. Like, right. He's just very much a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, adorable and loyal.
Just a dog. Yeah.
Guess dogs are great.
In the comic strip, he's just always fodder. He's a fool.
Yeah, he was a punching bag more.
Idiot, yeah.
Well, at this point, we're like 45 seconds to the end of the episode, so we have to just wrap it up immediately. So they find their boat, just happens to be down the way,
mm-hmm.
and all their candy is still in the boat.
Thank God.
Because, you know, you don't want 100. That guy's probably got diabetes. He's 110 years old.
Man, don't have no teeth. How are we going to chew on them?
Thank you.
There's no Werther's Originals in there.
Or maybe he did take just the Werther's Originals.
I was going to say
Garfield was totally fine with that. He was like, thank God I don't have to toss that in the garbage.
Saved me the effort of sorting.
I feel like he traded their candy for Werther's Originals. So it was just two giant sacks of Werther's, which I would be okay with.
I like Werther's. I also liked Tastations when those were around. They were exactly like Werther's.
Oh, no. Right, but they were like strawberries and cream and like a
variety of flavors. Yeah.
Those were so good.
Those were good.
But the chocolate Werther's are terrible.
Yeah, no.
They are bad.
Don't eat the chocolate. They do butterscotch well. They do caramel well. They do not do chocolate well.
I bought some caramel coffee Werther's while ago. Not good.
No.
Don't get those.
Like not Werther's, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Werther's, do what you do best.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Make it worth our time. Thank you very much.
Everybody get up.
I just want to thank everybody here for allowing me to be here for that moment.
Guys, this is
never
a rare
gonna,
thing.
Never going to forget this day.
I'm mad at all of you. This is so reversed. Is this how I make you feel?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Every living second.
Why do we do this? Okay. So then he decides he's going to learn his life lesson with 30 seconds to go. He gives Odie half the candy, which he wasn't going to do. But all right, you saved my life. I guess you saved my life. I guess you're entitled to what I promised.
Here's some chocolate, dog.
Oh, no.
Dark candy chocolate.
So he is just like Trump.
Yeah. I was going to say this is where it diverges from Trump-like behavior because he actually lives up to his promise. But then, no, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just doing to kill the dog.
Have the thing that will kill you. It's in our contract.
Stud with the Hershey's.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, and so then we get the final moment, which was the cool little, like, spooky moment where he goes to put the TV back on. So our creeper horror theater that's happening turns out to be the old man from the house, and he's wearing Garfield's pirate hat that he lost along the way. Spooky.
Cute bit.
Because then it turns out, like, wait, what is it? Was it real? Was it imagined? Did he actually even go out or to this island, or did he just fall asleep watching this and he imagines that this happened?
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of a cool bit.
Yeah.
I was good with that.
Or is it that this guy was locked up in a house for 100 years after being a cabin boy for a bunch of creepy pirates and left an island and immediately got a job in television?
To be fair, that follows.
Yeah, that checks out, right?
Yeah. That's literally how it works.
Yeah.
You know, overnight success usually takes about 100 years.
That's true.
And then we get our last commercial for Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Mm. It's not really an interesting commercial.
Yeah.
It's just
I forgot about it already.
And we get credits and we get the end of the show.
Yay!
Garfield, spooky Halloween, everybody.
Not as good as the Christmas episode.
No, not nearly.
It was different. I actually liked this one, I think, better than the Christmas episode.
Really?
Only because of Act 3, because they tried something, and I think it paid off.
How much of that do you think could be or might be attributed to network notes? Like, do you think that they came in strong and most of the episode was all that adventure stuff? And they were like, you need more jokes. You got to dial it back.
You need more jokes and not
so much scary pirate stuff.
You got to dial it back.
Crooning songs.
You need more songs. You need more jokes.
There is an interview the AV Club did when he did Comic-Con. And they talk at length about
there.
Halloween Adventure.
Did he talk about Eileen?
Did he talk about me? Did he talk about the matching costume that I wore with my boyfriend at the time?
Yes, he did.
We were the Fairly Odd Parents. It was real cute. I don't know why we didn't last. Yes, I do.
Jim Davis said that he was in a Darkwing Duck costume.
No!
Chan brings it onto the show. We can't tell that story on the air, Chan.
No.
We saved that for Patreon. Everybody knows that. Eileen, unless you want to tell the story.
No, not yet.
Okay, moving
it's
on.
It's still blossoming.
Moving on.
He says that the network really hit him hard when they're trying to make it more scary, and they kept having him cut it back. So it's entirely possible that, they did have to make a whole bunch of filler.
It makes a lot of sense.
Are you saying the network wanted it more scary?
No, they wanted it less scary.
Yeah.
They kept trying to push scary.
That was my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if we just do some BS where just like, you know, he's trying on costumes in the attic, and then we get scary.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
I recognize that scene as purely from a network note, like, oh, there needs to be something fun where he's in the attic and try on costumes, and maybe there's a song. That's 100% a network note, and I understand that. But having watched this when I was like 8 or 9 years old, I still enjoy that song. And when I'm walking through, if I have a costume party to go to, or even sometimes when I'm like, you know, looking for something to wear is in a sketch, I will hum that song to myself. You know.
But you might have noticed once they got to the island, no more songs.
Oh yeah,
there were no more singing at that point. It was pure terror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there may have been a song that they cut, like, "Oh, murder, murder, rape, we are pirates, oh, no, murder, murder, rape, we are."
I was a lonely cabin boy.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell the people at home shows to pitch, plugs, and any social media that you got.
Yeah, listen to Four Lights Podcast. You can get that on podcast distribution networks, your Stitchers and your iTunes and what have you. It's also on the Friendoville YouTube channel. We put up a video feed of that whenever it goes up, once every week or so. And that is just me and my best friend from high school, and we are reviewing every episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
Well, you're a podcast that reviews an old TV show?
Correct. Yeah, it's weird. Quite revolutionary.
That's weird.
It. Really breaking new ground.
I don't understand who'd really even, break who'd even check ground. That out. I just that's weird
Ray,
to me.
Crying.
Guys, it's all too real.
And then I'm in Haymaker third Wednesday every month at the PAC Theater. We put on a live show, live sketch comedy. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Actual.
That's fantastic. Eileen Chan, you guys got anything new?
I always have things to plug.
Eileen, what 17 shows would you like to plug this week?
Let's see. I mean, always Townies, 8 p.m. at the PAC Theater. We do an improvised play set in a town that you make up.
God. I feel dirty right now. That's terrible.
Saturday, November 10th, I'm writing for Sketch Cram at UCB LA Franklin.
We write
an entire sketch show all in one day, written and performed in less than 24 hours.
Wow.
So come at midnight, I guess technically 11:59 p.m. Saturday. Don't come midnight Saturday because then that's you coming.
That's such a
Friday
confusing
night.
Thing. Yeah.
Anyway, just go to the website.
That drives me crazy. Yeah. I back in the day when I used to have to videotape and set things to the timers, I would always get screwed up by the guides because I would record it at midnight, but it would be the wrong day because I'd get the 2 days flipped and I would just be where's my rerun of Cheers?
And then a quick reminder, Space Jam 2 is coming out. That's and right. I want to be in it and I will be in it. So tweet hashtag get Eileen in Space Jam 2 to help make my dreams come true. You can follow me on Twitter at @I_Lean. I'm also on Instagram at Eileen Mary O'Connell.
I feel like you've done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I podcast.
Chan, anything you want to pitch?
I'm going to be changing diapers from now until I die.
Yep.
Pretty much what it feels like.
That's what parenthood's like. You can ask my mom and dad.
Come on, check that out.
They fly here to change my diaper.
Here's the deal, Chan. I can vouch for you. Yes, diaper changing is the only thing that exists in the entire world. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's poop.
My day is just a haze, and then every once in a while I have to clean up to do a podcast. And then
every so often,
the haze.
Literally, you just stay in the haze until I message you 2 days before being like, hey, are we recording?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much.
That's accurate.
That's pretty close. Was that too real?
I'm in that group chat, and that's why.
Well, guys, I got nothing new, so just go keep playing Octopath Traveler for the Nintendo Switch.
Damn it.
Everybody should be playing that. And by this point, guys, you should have beaten it. What's going on? You should have beaten it and seen my name in the credits and then screen grabbed it and then tweeted it at my Twitter, Almighty Ray. just for the sake of argument.
Someone's going to do that, and you're going to feel like such an asshole because that would have been such a huge amount of work.
No, I'll feel great about it because I'll know this person had the joy of playing Square Enix's Octopath Traveler for the Nintendo Switch.
Here's the thing. It's a good experience. If for anything other than a Square Enix game, I'd probably shit on you being a corporate shill. But you know what? Fucking loves me some Square.
That's where Chan lives.
I don't work for them right now. But I'd like to again, potentially. So definitely play Octopath Traveler.
Sorry, hold on. Let me rephrase that. Square is a piece of shit. There is not a thing that they have
what
put
the
out.
H?
Let me tell you something.
As much as I love insulting Ray, I will not hop on this bit because I fucking love Kingdom Hearts.
I was going to say, Eileen is scared if she says something bad, they will withhold Kingdom Hearts 3 from her when it comes out in January.
Kingdom Hearts 3 out January 24th for everyone but Eileen.
Eileen's picture on the box being like, GameStop, do not sell this to Eileen Mary O'Connell.
And it was just Sora shaking his spiky head.
We sent Haley Jo Osment to Eileen's place just to be like, no, and then take it back.
It's like a keyblade through my heart.
Oh, no.
My Kingdom Hearts. Bam, 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 bam. Everybody get up. It's time to slam down. We got a real jam going now. Welcome to the hashtag Get Eileen and Spaceship 2. This is about me now. Me, 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 me.
Guys, we're not going to top that moment, so no more info. We're done. Good night.
Hope you bring lots of spaghetti.
I'm scared. Come on in, come to the place where fun never ends. Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and friends. Dancing.
Fiesta.
Romancing.
Siesta.
Samba.
La Bamba.
Ay caramba.
Disguises.
Disguises.
The surprises.
Surprises.
And pies of.
And pies of.
All